as we begin this particular message, I want to ask you, do you have fears? Are there things that just kind of paralyze you just a little bit? There are in my life. You know, one of those fears is, I hate to fly. And I make no qualms about that. And I think this verse of Scripture supports a fear of flying because Jesus said, "And lo, I will be with you always." About 1:30 this afternoon, someone's going to be at the dinner table. They're going to go, "I get it." I'm not a big fan of flying, and they won't even let me on an airplane take one of those little children's things that you hook on the seat in a car, so that the child can pretend they're driving. If they would allow me to do that, I would probably be okay, but, they're afraid I'd be a terrorist. Not drive the plane right into the ground or something. I don't know what they're afraid of with that, but there are just those things that in life that just kind of paralyze us. With some people, it is snakes. I mean, they see a snake and man, they are frozen with fear. Another one of the things that if I were to come face to face with that would make me freeze in fear is a lion. I don't want to go out in the backyard and have a lion come crawling through because, they could eat Lynn for lunch. And so that would kind of bring fear into my life. There are those things in life and so often we forget when those types of things come around us, we forget who is with us. This 20th verse of chapter 28, as Jesus is speaking about the Great Commission, he says, "Teach them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Whatever paralyzes you with fear, you need to remember that Jesus is there with you and that he will help you and that he will give you amazing grace to be able to get through whatever the circumstance might be. And so it's important for us to take a moment to step back and realize that since Jesus is truth and the Word of God, Jesus declared that, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through me." But Jesus was declaring that he is absolute truth and that he can be trusted. And if he tells us, "I am with you always," we can trust that. I want to just share with you four things this morning, as please pick up your neighbor as they've fainted. But I want to share with you that Jesus is always there to listen. That Jesus is always there to lift. Jesus is always there to lead. And Jesus is always there to love. Our world today desperately needs people who are trustworthy and dependable, and our world today needs to understand the realization that God is trustworthy and that he is dependable, and what he has promised he will bring about and he will work. Jesus is always there. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Even until the end of the age. What is it that you face in life? What is it that you struggle with? Are you willing to just kind of step back and release yourself into the care and the love of Jesus Christ? Or are you holding back? Let's look at these four things. First of all, Jesus is always there to listen. Did you ever need someone to be able to confide in? Someone that you could take your trials to, your struggles to, your problems to, and have the confidence that they are going to keep your confidence? To be able to trust them totally and completely, no matter what the issue in your life is, and to know that they're going to respond to you with direction that is true, because they've been so much in touch with God. You see, Jesus has promised us that He will be a confidant that we can trust. God has promised that He will be there no matter what we struggle with or what we face. In Isaiah chapter 65, the 24th verse, God says this, "Before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." You see, once we resolve ourselves and release ourselves to God, no matter what we struggle with, we can take to Him. And when we take that to Him, we have His attention. He is going to be there for us. Now the psalmist declared, you know, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against Thee." Absolutely true. "Thy word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against Thee." And then David said, as he was declaring the great things of God, he said, "Look, God won't hear me if I hide sin inside of me." And so we need to get rid of that kind of stuff. We need to submit so totally to God and be yielded so totally to God that we have full assurance and confidence that He's going to hear us when we pray. When we confide in Him, He's going to be there for us. I don't know what kind of fears you face, but I do know the One who can overcome all things, because you know what? Fear is not of God. Trust is of God. Confidence is of God. But fright isn't. It's a part of the human condition that come about as a result of sin. So we don't need to be paralyzed with fear. Now remember, when you read the phrases, "fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom," and that kind of thing, remember the word fear in that context does not mean fright. It means reverence. When you revere the Lord, when you reverence Him, that form of fear produces peace. And so it's not a fright type of a thing. But when there are circumstances in our lives that we know are not of God, and we face a real frightful moment, Jesus has promised, "I'll be there. I'll listen to you. You cry out to me." Are you in a relationship that's just kind of dead end? Cry out to God. He'll listen. Perhaps it's your marriage. Perhaps it's a neighbor. Perhaps it's a family member. Perhaps it's a friend. But things are just crumbling at the seams, and you just don't know what to do and where to go. Go to Jesus. He'll listen. He'll be your confidant. He'll be your trusted resource to give you wisdom, because He's there to listen and to give you guidance. And He'll hear before you even speak if you'll follow. The second thing is that Jesus is always there to lift. to lift. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6 says, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me." The Lord is my helper. I shall not fear. The Lord is my helper. You see, Jesus told us that we are to take all of our fears, all of our issues, all of our troubles, all of our problems, and cast them upon Him. And take on His burden. Give all of our burdens to the Lord. What burdens you? What do you struggle with? Give it to Him. And then take on His burden. Do you know what His burden is? His burden is this: simply to love. That's the burden of God, to love. Jesus said, "Hey, look, I can take the word of God. I can take all of the commandments, and I can sum them up in two. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor, that next person you come in contact with, your neighbor as yourself." For summed up, if you want to sum up the Christian life, it is simply this: love. Love is an interesting thing. Love means we show compassion when compassion is called for. Love means we confront when confrontation is necessary. Love means that we speak the truth whether people want to hear it or not, because we care enough for their souls that we don't want to see them go to a Christless eternity forever. Love is being truthful and honest. Folks, as the Apostle Paul, or excuse me, the Apostle John said, "My little children, love one another." Love one another. Because you see, the love of God in the heart of man is the evidence of the presence of God. That's simply it. Do you want to know whether or not God is your Savior? It's evidenced by love. If there is no love, there is no God. Because God is love. You see, it's really not rocket science. It is relationship proof. And when we go through a struggle, if we are walking fully with Christ, if we are walking in faith, Jesus takes the issues of our lives and He lifts them because He loves us. And then He opens up opportunities for us to show His love to someone else. There was an old gospel song that was out in the 70s. I don't know if it's still popular or not. It was a Southern gospel song. But there was a phrase, and I think this might even have been the title of it, I don't know. But I remember the Jacobs brothers doing it. I don't know if you remember the Jacob brothers or not. But the Jacob brothers did it. And the song went like this: "Love isn't love until you give it away." And I always liked that song because I liked the concept. The love of God was demonstrated towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God gave away His love. And then He fills us with the essence of who He is. And the very character and nature of God is that He is love. He doesn't contain love, He is love. And because He is love, when He indwells the heart and He indwells the life, love is what naturally comes forth. and that lifts us from the mire of sin and sets our feet on the rock. And that's what God wants for us. And so Jesus is there to listen when we need someone to confide in. He is there to lift when difficult things come to our lives. He lifts us up. Third, he is there to lead and to be our guide. Jesus is involved in prayer in John chapter 16 and 17. He gives an incredible, incredible prayer. And he talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit and how he was to come up, not just upon them, but he was coming to indwell them, to live within them. You see, prior to the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit would come upon people and empower them for works of service and works of ministry to be able to fulfill what God was calling them to. But he didn't indwell them. He just came upon them. The whole unique moment of the day of Pentecost, folks, was not the ability to speak in tongues. That's not what it was about. It was about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit coming to indwell people, the person of God. Jesus said, look, I'm going to go away, but if I go away, I'll send another. And he shall be with you and shall be in you. And he was talking about the Spirit of truth. He was talking about the Holy Spirit himself. And then in that 16th chapter, the 13th verse, he says, the Spirit of truth will guide you and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit will guide you. Do you listen for the guidance of God? When you are faced with a decision, when there is something that is placed before you, do you literally listen for the voice of God to be able to give you direction and leadership and guidance in your life, to be able to have that peace that you know that you're doing the right thing because God has invested himself in you? Are you careful to follow what God directs? I'm going to tell you now, if you're involved in sin, the answer to that question is no, you're not careful. But if you're following Jesus Christ with all of your heart, with all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength, and he guides your every step, you're on safe territory. God's love is so awesome and incredible, and Jesus promised that he would be with us. No matter what we face, he will be there. When temptation comes your way, it's Jesus through the person of the Holy Spirit who makes it firm to you, don't do this. Don't do this. You know it's not right. Don't do this. And then we're faced with a decision. Am I going to listen to the guide? Am I going to listen to the voice of God? Or am I going to do things my own way? Am I going to resist sin? Or am I going to yield to sin? God says you don't have to yield to sin. Follow Jesus. He'll not lead you astray. And then the last thing, oh my goodness, we're out of time. The last thing is that Jesus has promised to love and to be with us. You see, he's always there to listen. He's always there to lift. He's always there to lead. He's always there to love. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We can trust that Jesus Christ isn't going to just dump us by the roadside. We can cast him off, but he won't cast us off. We can throw him to the side of the road and say, Jesus, I don't want your involvement in me anymore. And we can break the heart of God by doing that. But he's not going to do that to us. And if we return and seek him, he's willing to forgive and to move us forward. You see, folks, Jesus has promised that he'll be there. Always. When we have a need and we just need to talk to someone, he'll listen to us. When we have a difficult thing going on in our lives, he'll help to lift that load off of our shoulders and off of our backs and carry us. When we need direction and guidance, he'll be there to lead us, to give us hope, to give us direction. And he has promised to love because he sacrificed for us. I want to serve a God like that. How about you? Would you please stand? I really feel that we need to take our hymnals. I know that we're a couple of minutes over. But I'm going to ask you to open up to number 525, and for just a moment, we're going to sing. We're going to sing verses 1 and 3 of I Will Praise Him. And if you're here this morning and you'd have to say, you know what, I've kind of been wandering away from God, I'm really not where I need to be right now, I want to tell you, today's the perfect time. Today is the day to call upon him. Get yourself under his guidance and leadership, his grace and his forgiveness. So I'm going to ask you to step out and come. Kneel here at this altar. Now, perhaps you're here and you'd have to say, you know what? I've been kind of selfish in my spiritual life, and I really haven't been thanking God for the many blessings he's poured out on me. So today I want to come and just thank him. I'm going to ask you to come be seated in one of these pews up front. So if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you come up here to the altar. If you'd like to come and just thank him for the many gifts and blessings he's poured out on you, I invite you to come and be one of these seats. And we're going to have a closing word of prayer. And then Matt will lead us in a benediction. So if God is speaking to you about anything, you step out and come. Verse 1 and verse 3 of number 525. Our gracious Father, thank you. Lord, we lift up each one of these who has stepped forward. We pray, Father, first of all, for this one who has come to receive you. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit might just so speak to her heart and confirm the faith that she has exercised by stepping forward. That, Lord, nothing will hold her back. But instead, you'll bring her life. Life in you. And Father, for these others who have come forward to be seated, I pray that you would fill their hearts with gratitude and grace, that you would fill them to overflowing with knowledge and with assurance. And that, Father, as they continue to yield themselves to you, Lord, may you be in them all that they could ask or think. Now, Father, give us hope. Give us strength. Give us grace. And as we leave this place today, give us yourself. And we'll give you thanks. For it's in your incredible and awesome name we pray.